You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
In just a moment, we're going to lay hands on every family, but I got something that the Lord put in my spirit while I was praying today, and in my spirit that you've got to see this. Is that you are not called to struggle. It's not your story. In Jesus' name. You have a God who is greater than the spirit of this world. Amen. In fact, one of my favorite verses is my friend, Brother Jose. I met him last night. I'm glad you're back, brother. And the Bible said in 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children. And have overcome them. Who's them? Spirit of Antichrist. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So if you've got the greater one in you, catch this. You got to ask yourself the question, what is he greater than? He's greater than what's been sent to destroy you. You know what? If the greater one is on the inside of you, he's greater than cancer. He's greater than diabetes. He's greater than depression, anxiety, arthritis, glaucoma. Are you hearing me? He's greater than. The greater one is in you, which means we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And from the very beginning, God has always had a plan to exempt his children from trouble. Can you shout amen? Jesus' blood was not for nothing. It was not for nothing. I want you to quickly look with me at Genesis 19. Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate you, man. You're so good. Get ready, because we're going to shout in a minute. I'll give your fingers just a rest for a moment, because I need you strong. We're going to shout at the end of this service. Don't you appreciate him? What a gift he is to the body of Christ. Amen. It's amazing to see. Of course, you know the story in Genesis 19 of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, his wife Sarah. You go through the whole story, and it's very interesting to see that God had a plan to rescue them before they even knew there was problems coming. Think about that. God had already dispatched angels to get them out of trouble before they knew trouble was coming. You know what's interesting? Their children didn't even believe trouble was coming. For when Lot warned his kids and grandkids that trouble was coming, the Bible said they laughed at him and kept on doing their thing. It's a dangerous thing. You know, it's really interesting. We have to do what we can to keep our families in the presence of God. Because we live in a day and age that if we're not careful, we can easily take on the spirit of the world. It's very interesting because the Bible said that when they moved in, see, Abraham said to his nephew Lot, take a look around. Look at all this country. You can have any of it that you want. And Lot got to choose first. And now he's living in the evil twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where perversion has spread like wildfire through that whole region. And in fact, I know we have some kids in here, but I'll put this into PG rating, because this, I'm just going to tell you how the Bible says it, but I'll water it down a little for the kids that are in the room. But the Bible said that two angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah looking for Lot and his family to save them. And the Bible said when they did, all the men of the city caught those angels walking through town. They went to Lot's house, knocked on the door, and he said, come on in, let me serve you. Angels are in Lot's house. And the Bible said every man in the city came to Lot's house, banged on the door, and said, where are those two men that just came into town? Send them outside so that we can all have sex with them. That's what the Bible said. Not some of the men in the town, not the LGBT community of the town. Bible said every man in the town was ready to really rape these two angels that were from heaven. Now think about Lot. Lot had lived in this place too long. He was starting to let evil fill his heart. Because the Bible said that after those men said that to him, he stepped outside and shut the door behind him. And he said, "My brothers, don't do such an evil thing." First of all, what business did he have calling those men his brothers? He said, "My brothers," to men that were there to do evil things to God's angels. He said, "My brothers." Now listen to his solution. This is Lot's solution out of his own mind. He said, "Look, I got a virgin daughter here. I'll throw her out the door and you can do what you want with her, but just don't touch these angels. You've been living in wickedness for too long when you're ready to turn your family over to the world. And we're living in a time right now where people, without even knowing it, are turning their family over to the world. They're turning their children over to the world, turning their grandkids over to the world, because somebody has not been willing to hold the banner high of holiness in the household." I'm preaching. Y'all don't have to shout if you don't want to, but I came to tell you tonight that our children need a revival. Our grandchildren need a revival. There's things trying to take their soul from them, trying to take their life from them. We have an epidemic of suicide in America. We've got an epidemic of depression in America. So that now they're telling us one out of every three people in America takes an antidepressant. And they got shows coming out on Netflix that are glorifying suicide as a way out of your trouble. 13 Reasons Why, or whatever the name of it is. And you got people saying, "Well, if they bully you, if they harass you, if they give you problems, just take your life and let everybody know. Stick it to them. It's your fault why I'm gone. It's your fault. You bullied me. You harassed me. I'm putting my suicide on your shoulders." As though it's a way out of trouble. As though it's a way out of all the hurt that people are going through. But it's because our generation needs a revival. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. And I refuse to turn my babies over to an antichrist agenda and an antichrist world. I refuse to drop the banner of holiness and say everything's acceptable, because I don't care if it's politically correct or not. I'm not here to be, it's all right, just leave it. I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm here to be scripturally correct. People can get mad if they want to get mad, but if he's happy with me, I don't care who's mad at me. I'm trying to please one person. Hear what I say. The social media culture has destroyed the way that we project who we are. Because understand what's happened to our psychology now that social media has been released to us. 2006, they launched Facebook, and then they started opening up to different colleges. Then it started opening up to everybody. Now your grandmother's on Facebook, and it's not cool anymore to be there because you don't want your family seeing what you're doing. And then kids keep skipping from social media network to wherever mom's not, that's where I'm going to be. Now we got Finstas. If you don't know what that is, people got fake Instagram accounts. They got one they post when they're cool at school so their mom can say, "Yes, I'm in class." And then they have one that they post just for their friends. That's stuff they're doing behind the scenes. And people see a social media culture. Let me show you why that it has ruined us. It's because they've designed the whole thing so that we can try to get acceptance from other people. Oh my goodness. I see people are starting to put content out so that they can get shares and likes and hearts and retweets. They're trying to be able to get people's acceptance. That's why when you see people online, it ain't even real people anymore. Girl, that ain't you. That's 14 filters over you. You don't even look like that in real life. I saw you on the street. You don't even look like that. I can't even recognize you at the mall because you didn't have time to put your real face through Facetune. You know what I'm saying? Your teeth ain't that white. Your face ain't that skinny. And your eyes don't glitter that hard. And people, I got to have people like this picture. They got to heart me. They got to share this. I need people interacting. I need comments. I need my blog to blow up. I'm trying to become a fashion influencer. And everything we put out, we're trying to gain the acceptance of other people. So here's the problem, though, is that when you're trying to do your thing and gain acceptance from a culture that is anti-Christ, the moment you begin to release your belief system, you get 92 people blowing up your comments section, degrading you because you don't believe in same-sex marriage. It's June. It's Pride Month. How can you believe? How can you go to a Pentecostal church where they believe that gay marriage is wrong? And then they start hitting back at you, and all the people that you were hoping would love you and hoping would support you and would lift you up on a pedestal on social media, now they're attacking you because your beliefs don't line up with the world. They line up with the Word of God. And the problem is, we've got some people who are more hungry to be famous than they are to be faithful, that they've had an issue standing up for the gospel in this world. I'm not looking for fame. I'm looking for faithfulness. Because if I'll be faithful to what He called me to do, He's the only one that can bring increase. Psalm 75 verses 6 and 7, the Bible said promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. Promotion comes from the Lord, and He alone decides who will rise and who will fall. Let me tell y'all something. My ministry will continue to be flourishing and thriving when Instagram is long dead. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When Facebook is giving up the ghost, ain't nobody on there anymore. When Snapchat is gone, when the ghost is gone, the Holy Ghost will still be moving. Few thing. See, and that's the problem too, is that we have people. The other thing that's an issue is that social media gives people the idea that everyone's voice is on the same level. Thanks for the shouts. Don't all run around the room at the same time. What am I trying to say? Is that there are people out there that feel like they can just step up and rebuke men of God. Oh, they're trashing them left and right. People that have given their whole lives to reaching a generation with the truth of God's word. But because you have a Facebook Live on your little Facebook page, you can get up there and say whatever you want about God's men. Well, I don't think it's right how so-and-so does this. Who cares what you think? When was the last time you impacted your generation for the kingdom of God? See, here's the real question, is that if you think that everybody's on the same level, how come in the kingdom of God, God didn't make it that way? Why did God even create a hierarchical structure in the body of Christ? And the Bible says He gave gifts unto men. See, here's the problem, is that you've got people dying that should be flourishing because everybody thinks they can do what everybody else does. When I was an associate pastor at our old church, we used to have people that would get offended. They'd come to my uncle, who was the senior pastor. And they'd say, well, I'm just upset at you, pastor. What are you upset about? You never asked me to preach on a Sunday morning. It's like, yeah, you ain't a preacher. You always have your nephew preach when you're out of town. You never asked me to preach. Yes, you're not a preacher. And I said, well, I can do what you can do. And you know what's funny? Christianity is the only place where we think like that. I've never walked into one hospital like, you never let me do a surgery. I've been coming to this hospital for the last 3 years. You ain't never asked me to do one surgery. I'm taking my hospital money and going somewhere else, Holly. I've never yelled at a mechanic because he didn't let me work on my car one time. I've been coming to this garage for the last 32 years. You never asked me to work on a muffler. In the natural realm, we just understand that some people have actually dedicated themselves to know what they're doing so that they can operate with efficiency in that area. I don't get mad because I don't get invited to pharmaceutical conferences to talk about pharmaceutical drugs. I don't know anything about pharmaceutical drugs. That's why I can't get offended. I've not dedicated my life to studying a thing to have certain things to say about the thing. But there's problem, because if people get offended in church now, they just go start their little own church. At, well, we have a home church, brother. We have home church. We just set up a few chairs out in the backyard. We just play an acoustic guitar and meditate on the goodness of God. You ain't a pastor, and that ain't a church. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some. But as you see the day of the Lord approaching, gather all the more. Y'all might think it's harsh preaching, but here's the problem. While older people may know better, our kids are suffering from people's offended attitudes. And see, we've got parents now. See, that's what the outrage culture is all about. You got full-grown adults walking around acting like 13-year-old girls that haven't even hit puberty yet. Walking around getting offended at everything that happens. And the problem is, rather than standing up and taking responsibility, our kids just see us being offended about everything, bashing everybody that's ever done us wrong, who they think they are. Only God can judge me. That's what you hear at home. And you wonder why are there 9-year-old girls throwing attitude like J-Lo from 1996? Why in the world do you have 8-year-old girls slapping their mother in the face in the checkout line when they don't get the toy they want at checkout? Throwing full-grown, full-blown fits to the point now we go to the mall. Y'all been there. You go to the mall and you got kids, parents got them on leashes, walking them around the mall on a leash. Why? Because you ain't got no authority in your house. If there was power and authority in the house, you don't need a leash to take care of a kid. You just tell them no, and no means no, and yes means yes. It's time to get some anointing back in the house. Time to get some power back in the house. Time for the kids to stand up in the anointing. Time for the grandkids to start serving God. I'm coming back to what the Word said. Our families are going to be different in Jesus' name. Our kids aren't going to suffer with what other kids are suffering with. I've got a provider, I got a healer, I got a peace bringer, I got a joy giver. I'm not going to look like everybody else. I ain't going through the struggle everybody else is. Don't put one more time on Facebook, hashtag the struggle is real. Stop writing it. Let me help you. Flip it a little bit. Just write it like this. Hashtag the struggle is over. In Jesus' name. It's over. It's coming to an end in Jesus' mighty name. For the anointing of the Lord breaks every yoke of bondage. Every yoke, no matter what it is. Look, I didn't have no need for a leash when I was a kid. My dad had a leash for me. It was called a Holy Ghost stare down. I'm a third generation preacher. So my father, preacher, all my uncles are preachers. My grandfather's a preacher. You knew. And I'm telling you, my dad could be mid-sermon. I could be acting up in the third row with my friends. He could just give it a pow, one stare. I'd start repenting for sins I never committed in my life. God, for every bank I've robbed, God, oh, forgive me now, Jesus. For every drug I've dealt in the cities. I was 7 years old. I'd never been out of my room. What happened? Authority will hit you quick. Authority. See, this is what I'm preaching on tonight, is the authority of the home. God's given us authority in our home. Authority over sickness, authority over disease, authority over depression, authority over anxiety, authority over impurity and perversion. It will not be in our house in Jesus' name. Whatever you even may have come out of in your old life, it won't touch your kids in Jesus' name. You might be the result of a broken home. You may have had failed marriages in the past, but I tell you, your kids will not know the taste of divorce. Your grandkids will not know the taste of divorce. They'll not know what it feels like to have a husband walk out or a wife walk out or an affair go on. That is broken in Jesus' mighty name. What you struggle with before, it ends in the past, but your future is blessed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every yoke destroyed, every burden lifted. Authority, that's what I'm talking about. Authority. I remember one time I thought I was getting too big. I was getting too strong to be talked to by my parents that way. I'm a ball player now. I was a state championship basketball player. I was big. Talk to me. You know, when you're a teenager, you think you're a man. I'm a man. I didn't pay one mortgage payment my whole life. And I was coming up out of the basement, and I heard my mom say, "You need to take that trash out." I said, "I ain't doing that." Ooh, boy. Let me tell y'all. I heard the chair push back from the table. It wasn't a mom push back. It was a dad push back. I heard that. And I felt something dropping in my spirit. So I came around the corner. And I felt two powerful hands grab me by my shirt. Supernaturally, my feet left the ground. I thought, this must be the rapture. Hallelujah. But then I didn't go any higher than 4 inches off the ground. And felt myself being walked back towards the wall. And my father, with full authority, as only a father could do, looked in my eyes and said, now this shook me right here. This shook me up. I had never had role reversal happen on me. He said, if you ever speak to my wife, I thought she was my mom. I said, my mom. If you talk to my wife like that again. And I felt in that moment a warm substance running down my leg. I don't know what it was, but I felt, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know what was happening, but I'll just tell you, I knew that he had the authority that I did not have. Authority. I said authority. Authority. Authority snaps everything back into order. Woo! Do you know when the judge pulls the gavel out? It could be a loud courtroom before the case begins. People can be talking, mingling, people on phone calls, people shuffling papers. But as soon as order in the court, you notice the voices die down. Everything becomes silent. Cell phone calls come to an end. Papers stop rustling. And everything drops into order. And when God fills you with his power and fills you with his anointing and fills you with his glory, the enemy might do his best to try to come into your family and into your life and bring disorder to you. But all it takes is for you to slap that thing down and say, in the name of Jesus, I declare order in this house, order in this family, order in my body, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, order.
Order.
Everything that was out of order is coming back into order in Jesus' name. Whatever the devil designed for your physical body to bring your body out of order, your organs are acting out of order, mind acting out of order. See, everybody, it's funny to me. Everybody looks at this stuff and they listen to what professionals say who can only study the effects of what's going on. When they tell you, well, yes, you're battling depression, but it's a chemical imbalance. That might be how it manifests in your body. But the Bible tells us there's a spirit of heaviness. That freaks people out. I say, well, that don't sound very medical to me. You know who said that? The great physician. The one who was here actually pronouncing healing and actually doing supernatural surgeries before there was any hospitals. And he said, there's a spirit of heaviness. But he said, I'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He said, God, through the Apostle Paul, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's anxiety attacks and panic attacks. That's what comes against your mind. But a power and love and a sound mind. And the issue we have in this generation is we're trying to prescribe natural solutions to supernatural problems. And the problem is, you can't can't medicate a spirit. You can't put a spirit in a hospital. And the issue is all they're doing really to our generation is zombifying people. So they're just walking around through their day. And before you know it, we have medicated people for so long that they're so tired of being under that, they'll just go find dad's gun and show up at school and shoot some people up because they're hurting on the inside and they've got a spirit attacking them that nobody knows how to deal with because the church has laid back and let go of the Holy Ghost because we want to be hip and cool and look like the world and we want to act like everything is so cool that we don't need to talk about the Holy Ghost. But I can't lose my connection with the Holy Ghost. Ain't no amount of lighting or smoke or fog or effects that can do the Holy Spirit better than what he can do all by himself. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. You hear what I'm saying? We've got churches that have to advertise things that aren't even supernatural to get people to come. Come to our church. We have wonderful donuts. Donuts in the lobby. We can network. Bring your business cards. We have wonderful fellowship. We have to advertise stuff. We got some churches now that'll actually let you know when you can leave church. We'll only keep you an hour. Some of y'all in this room have not been saved your whole life. Some of y'all came from somewhere. And you know as well as I do, if somebody invited you to a party and said, you don't have to stay long, it'll only be an hour, that wasn't a good party. Because we don't party for an hour. We party till the sun comes up. I'm the last one on the table swinging my shirt around at the end of the night. Don't tell me no party's going to last 55 minutes because we got to get the next group in here. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you got to tell people when they can leave church, you start to question if it's worth even coming to church. We'll only keep you 55 minutes. What are we doing in 55 minutes? What are you doing in 55 minutes? See, I'm asking you. What are people doing in 55? You getting people delivered in 55 minutes? I'm telling you. You got church, they've had to cut out any Holy Ghost manifestation so they can cut their service times down. Well, we don't give an altar call anymore, brother. You know how many churches don't give altar calls anymore? Won't ask for people. If you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, you know Jesus needs to turn your life around. Tonight's your night to repent. Come to this altar. We'll pray a prayer of repentance. All things will be made new. You know people don't even do that? Well, we don't want to embarrass anybody. You know what's worse than being embarrassed? Spending eternity in hell. Hello? Well, brother, people might be... Unbelievable. I'm looking at you like, what in the world is the problem? And people say, well, we won't keep you too long. Well, what are you doing? They don't lay hands on anybody anymore. They won't pray for anybody anymore. They won't call people to the altar anymore. There's churches now that are Pentecostal. You won't even believe me when I tell you this. There's churches that are Pentecostal. They won't even allow people to speak in tongues in the church. Oh, not here, brother. Don't do that here. You can do it at home. Don't do it in the house of God. Amen. I mean, don't. Please don't manifest the Spirit of God in the house of God. Please. It's out of order. It's out of line. Amen. So what are we doing? We're building social clubs. I don't need a social club. I need a place where the anointing of God is moving. Catch this. If I need a coffee, I can go to Starbucks. If I need a donut, I can go to Krispy Kreme. If I want a light show, I can go to Cirque du Soleil. But when I need a miracle, there's only one place I can come. Ain't no barista can get it. Ain't no Dunkin' Donuts can do it. But the power of God is in his house, and I need the anointing in my life. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our homes, in our kids, in our grandchildren. Ain't nothing's going to change a generation except the anointing of God. Amen. It's the only thing that's going to change us. The power of God. The power of God. That's why we're going to pray for you tonight. Anoint you with oil as the Bible says to do. See, we believe because it's a command of Jesus. They shall anoint them with oil. It's not just a sign or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When God commands something, he also empowers it. You know, that's why I believe, even with the communion meal, when we take communion, you know Paul the apostle taught? The reason many people are sick and dying early is because they don't properly discern the communion meal. You know what he was saying? He said, you rich people come in early. And he said, you eat it all up. You eat all the bread and drink all the wine, whatever. He said, you don't leave any for those that don't have anything, because you're eating it like it's just another meal, like lunch and dinner. Eating it up and not leaving anybody for those that are coming after you. And because you haven't properly discerned that this ain't just a meal, this is something God gave us to bring health into our body. Because you've treated it like a natural meal, you're sick and dying early. So that shows me that the Apostle Paul believed that the communion meal was not just us in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because Jesus commanded it, he also empowered it. I believe by looking at the word, according to what Paul taught, when we take communion, we're actually partaking of healing and health for our bodies, strength for our souls. And the same is true with prayer cloths. Everybody's, you know, we do, if you've been in church for any period of time, we believe just like Acts 19, they took prayer cloths. We grew up doing this from the body of Paul after he had preached, and they took those cloths and brought them to those that were sick, diseased, and full of the devil. And the Bible says the sicknesses, diseases, and demons had to leave them. You know why? Because the anointing is transferable. Woo! The anointing is transferable. In the same way as communion or a prayer cloth, the anointing gets in the oil. Because God commanded it, he empowered it. And the Bible says in James chapter 5, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, that they will anoint them with oil, and they'll lay their hands upon them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Amen. And so one of the things that happens when we anoint you with oil and pray is that sicknesses and diseases have to leave your body in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Number two. The Bible said in the book of Exodus, when they created the anointing oil, he said, anoint everything in the tabernacle with the oil, all the elements on the table, the Ark of the Covenant, everything. And this is what he said. He said, not only will those things become holy, he said, but anything that touches them will become holy and separated. You know what that means? When we anoint you and your family tonight, we're not just setting you apart for God, but anything that comes into contact with you or your children will also be touched by God. That means your children are not going to be influenced. Your children will do the influencing. It means that wherever they go, that they will be in command of that situation. That even if they get somehow pulled into a situation where there are surrounded by sin, your children may come to a place, and we're praying that they don't, where they go to a party one night where people are smoking and doing drugs and hooking up upstairs and, you know, whatever else they might be doing. And they're in there and everybody's trying to pull them into living in sin. But I'm going to believe that the anointing come on your kids so much, they won't even be able to sin right. I'm gonna pray tonight. They can even find themselves in a situation. They walk into the party and the music is going, whatever's going on. Lights are going. People are hooking up upstairs. People offering them drugs, all kind of stuff. And there's everything pulling them in temptation every direction. But the only thing they can hear in their spirit is, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your kids won't even be able to sin right. Girls trying to get their Snapchat and everything else, and all they can hear in their spirit is what their mom and dad been praying over them and the things they've been confessing at night before bed, and the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their heart. Oh my goodness. Somebody shout, my kids won't look like other people's kids. They won't struggle like other people's kids. We will be head and shoulders above the rest because of the power of God. I want the musicians and the singers to come back. We're getting ready to praise in just a moment. But I'm telling you, there's an anointing that's going to come upon your family. Now, number three, catch this, very important. Number one, healing and health. Number two, you are set apart and holy by the anointing of God. But an encouraging thought is this. The Bible says that when it was time for a new king to take over in Israel, God sent Samuel the prophet to Jesse's house and said, one of his sons is going to be the next king. And he looked at the seven oldest sons and none of them were the king. He said, I don't sense it on any of them. He said, yeah, don't you have any more sons? He said, well, I got one more. He's out in the field. His name's David. He said, bring him in. When David stepped in, God said, this is the one. And he had already instructed Samuel, bring your horn of oil. They used to fill up a horn, an actual horn with oil. And he said, bring your horn of oil and get ready to anoint the next king. And when David came in standing there, God said, that's the one. Anoint him. And the Bible says, and Samuel poured the horn of oil over David's head. It ran down. And I love this verse of scripture in 1 Samuel 16. He said, and from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. The final thing I'm praying over your family tonight is that from this night forward, the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon your family, upon your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife. Come mightily upon. What does it look like when the Spirit of the Lord comes mightily upon you? What does that look like? I was preaching in Boston, Massachusetts, and we were holding a revival, and a young boy came forward with the rest of the group to be prayed for and receive the Holy Spirit. Kid was only 11 years old, and he lifted his hands. Name was Dakota. He lifted his hands. When I came over, I laid hands on him. Power of God hit that kid. He fell out in the Spirit. And I love this because God doesn't wait until you're 18 to bless you or 21 to use you. He'll use you as a child. He was 11. I didn't find all this out till later. He was having trouble in school, having trouble with his subjects, couldn't quite understand, comprehend the math and some of the other things. So his mother had hired a tutor from the local college to come give him lessons on some of these subjects. And he told me later, he said, he used to always bother me because when the tutor would come into my house, he was a college kid, and I could smell weed on his clothes, and I could smell alcohol in his breath all the time. He'd been partying nonstop. And he said, it used to really bother my spirit as a young boy. He said, but what am I going to do? You know, I'm 11, he's 20. What am I going to accost him? You know, he's intimidated. He said, but something happened to me after you laid hands on me and I started speaking in tongues. He said, I had another session with that kid from college. He came to my house, came into my living room to start my lessons. He said, and I smelled the weed on his clothes and smelled the alcohol in his breath again. He said, Pastor Ted, I don't know what came over me. He said, my hands shut up like this. And he said, I told him, lift up your hands. He said, I don't even know why I said that. He said, I told him, lift up your hands. And the dude, he didn't know if it was a stick up or what. You know, he's going to pull a gun. I don't know what's going on. He said, just lift him. And he said, I walked across the room to where that kid was. He said, I put my hand on his mouth. And he said, I started praying for him. And he said, I prayed, God, if he smokes weed again, drinks again, let it make him sick to his stomach. In Jesus' name. Started praying like that over his tutor. He's 11. Kid's 11. And the guy was weirded out. He's like, this kid is weird. And they sat down and did their studies. And the next week, the guy came back to do another lesson with him. He said, but this time he didn't ring my doorbell. He just burst into my house, started calling my name. He said, Dakota. He said, I walked out of the kitchen. I was startled. He said, what, man? What's going on? He said, what did you do to me? He said, what do you mean? He said, last week you told me to lift up my hands. You put your hand on my mouth. You did that. You said something. He said, what did you do? He said, I've been back at college. He said, all this week, it's the craziest thing. Every time I've been trying to party, every time I smoke, every time I try to take a drink, I get overly sick to my stomach. I start vomiting everywhere. What did you do? See, what happens is you can even be a child, but the Spirit of the Lord can come mightily upon your life. And what I'm encouraging you with tonight is your children won't have to wait until they get up, become adults before God start using them to change this generation. But starting tonight, in Jesus' mighty name, things are turning in your favor. My little daughter that you've seen run around, my oldest daughter, I should say, she got filled with the Holy Ghost at 5 years old or six. 6 years old, and her cousin was six. Now watch this. They're in kids' class, children's church. And all of a sudden, her cousin walks over to her and just lays hands on my daughter. They're both six. Lays hands and prays that God would fill my daughter with the Holy Spirit. And my daughter falls out, 6 years old, in a children's shirt. I wasn't even in there. I didn't even get be the one that prayed for my daughter to receive the Holy Ghost. My niece did. Prayed for her, goes out, starts speaking in tongues. At 6 years old. Can I tell you, my daughter will never have the opportunity to say God's not real. Because even when she was younger than that, when the devil tried to kill her and put a disease in her bloodstream and in her heart, and doctors told us she'll never be able to run or exert herself or play sports because this will affect her heart for the rest of her life, and she'll have to be on blood medication for the rest of her life. And my wife and I are sitting in a hospital room, and the devil starts talking to you the first thing. Because you know what he starts to say? He said, well, I thought you were a man of God. I thought you were the miracle man. That you believe God can do anything. You look at this. You can't even keep your own daughter healed. Here you are in a little hospital room, and your daughter's going to have a blood disease for the rest of her life, and she's going to have heart problems. You're traveling around the world telling people Jesus is a healer and that he's a deliverer, and you can't even keep your own family healed. And I'll tell you, that might have broke some people's hearts. It made this preacher mad. And I went home. I got a prescription. I went home, opened up the Lazy Susan, and pulled out the Mazola cooking oil. That was my prescription. I grew up with that, my friend. We anoint. You got a problem? Anoint it. Before I even hit puberty, I had acne just from being anointed with oil so much. I was all the time. I had hair that just went back. It wasn't a cowlick. I was just having hands laid on me all the time as a kid. I went back. My wife and I started to pray, fast. We poured oil out. I laid hands on that baby girl. What was she, two? 2.5 years old. To the point where your daughter's laying on a hospital and they can't even find a vein to draw blood. And they're sticking her 9 times, 10 times. And she's so weak from this disease that's hit her blood that she's laying there. And I'm watching my daughter as tears are falling down her face. But she can't. She's so worn out. She can't even move. And you know what it feels like as a father when your 2.5-year-old daughter says, Daddy, don't let them hurt me anymore. And the devil tells you you're done. I'm telling you, I felt a righteous anger come up on the inside of me. I said, this ain't going to be my story in Jesus' name. I did not get redeemed to have my life look like the rest of this world who doesn't have a redeemer. I did not connect myself to a healer so that I could go through the rest of my life without healing. I'm going to have the benefits of my covenant in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And when we laid hands on that baby girl, doctors kept coming into the room. They said, Mr. Ted, we're gonna have to go check something else out. Drew more blood back to the lab. Next one's in. Now there's three doctors with clipboards. See, you know something's happening because now I get multiple opinions. They got them in there. They said, we got to do a few more things. Now they're checking the machines in the room. Then they come back the next time. Not only they got the three doctors, now they got medical students in the room. Now everybody's looking at everything. Final time he came back, he said, Mr. Shuttlesworth, I have to tell you, we're just gonna have to let you and her go home because we can't find anything in her bloodstream. We can't find anything that was there before, and we can't even diagnose her with one thing. I'm telling you, the anointing of God is coming on your family in Jesus' name, and every wicked thing is running out the back door in the name of Jesus. Jump on your feet all over this church and lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you. Woo! We thank you for your power, for the victory that you purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, Lord, as we get ready to lay hands on your people, I pray in Jesus' name, touch every family, touch every child, every grandchild. We thank you that a hedge of protection is coming around your people. Listen to me. This is so important. Every head bow. Before I pray for your family, and God loves your family so much, but he loves you as an individual person. And understand that the blessings of God are reserved for the children of God. If you're not saved, you're not safe. Because Jesus is coming very soon. If you're in this church tonight, hear me. If you sat through this whole service and you heard this preacher preach, and you're standing here tonight and you're not sure if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you're not sure if heaven would be your home if Jesus came tonight, you're not sure if you could look him in the eye when he returned, because there's things in your life that are wrong and you know they're wrong and you know you need to make a change, I came to encourage you tonight and tell you God's not mad at you. He doesn't hate you. He's not looking to punish you. He loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. And tonight is your night for a turnaround. All things to be made new. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, preacher, that's me. I know there are things in my life that aren't right. I know that if Jesus came, I'm not ready to see him. I need to make all things new. I need to pray with you tonight. If there's even one person in this church that you say, that's me, I need to pray that prayer with you. Wherever you are, lift your hand, hold it high, and I'm gonna pray with you. Wave it at me. Let me see who you are. I see it there. Who else? Over there? Lift it. Don't be ashamed of it. Who cares what anybody else may think? The question is, what does Jesus think of me? What does God think of me? You say, tonight's my night for a turnaround. If you lifted your hand, take a step of faith. Jump out of your seat and come stand with me at this altar. Let's pray together. Come on. If you lifted your hand, get out and come quick. We'll stand right here together. Come on. God bless you. Face me here. We're going to pray as a family. God bless you, Jose. We're going to pray as a family. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Wherever you are, if you're still in your seats, you know you need to be at this altar. You raised your hand. Come. Jesus loves you. He's calling you tonight. He's calling you tonight to make all things new. Every head still bowed. Christians, you should be praying now. This is life or death for people. Don't let the devil lie you out of your opportunity to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven with God himself. If you're still in your seat, you know you need to be at this altar. Quickly come. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss your moment. Jesus is calling you. God bless you. Who else? Who else? This is your night. Maybe you were standing next to somebody that raised their hand. Tell them, hey, I'll walk with you. I'll go with you. Don't be ashamed of it. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. See, because this is eternity right here. It's a long time. It's forever. I don't want to miss my opportunity to be with the Lord. There's no sin, hear me, there's no sin worth losing eternity over. Sin is a killer. It kills everything it touches. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. I've heard people say before, you know, brother, serving the devil doesn't pay. That's not true. The Bible says it does have a paycheck. You just won't like the paycheck. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. 20 more seconds. Listen, this is so vital. Don't miss it. If you're sitting here, don't wait for another time. You know, I've had young people tell me, well, you know, brother said, I'll wait till I get older. Then I'll start going to church and all that. I got things to do. I want to live my life. You don't have time to waste time. There's no time to waste time. If you're still in your seat, but you know you need to be here, come quickly. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. And then we're going to pray. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you at the altar, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of faith. God's going to make all things new. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say it boldly. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. And I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I'm asking you now, forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord, that from this night forward, I'm a child of God. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Say this for good measure. Devil, I'm done with you. Done with the old way of living. From this night forward, I belong to Jesus. take your hands off my life. You're trespassing on God's property. Now lift both hands and thank the Lord that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. It's a new life. Pastor Josh, would you give them some instruction for next steps? You want to take this mic? Oh, you got that one. Okay.
If you made a decision to follow Christ, we want to be able to follow up with you, walk with you, be able to do life with you. And Miss Jessica's just going to come and just grab your phone number and your name so that we can just pray with you and walk this out with you, because this is the most important decision that we ever make, that any of us ever make, is when we say yes to Jesus. So, amen.
Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for new brothers and new sisters in Christ. Father, we're so thankful for everything you're doing. Now, I pray for every one of these, Lord, that you would strengthen them, fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray you divinely protect them, give them holy desires, use them to change this generation. I thank you, Lord, that from this night forward, you continue to strengthen them by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' wonderful name, this is a new season for every life, new season for every person. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Now, here's what we're going to do. I know you guys got the paper, and please turn that in before you leave tonight. But here's what I want to do. I saw they have the children with you. If you've got your children that are in the kids' class, they're bringing the children in. I want you to come through as a family, because I want to pray for the families of God. And we're going to pray for your children, grandchildren, whatever, whoever's with you tonight. And I want to start, though, if you guys could all join your faith with me. For every person that's watching online, we're broadcasting all these services live on Facebook. So if you don't mind, would you just turn and stretch your hands towards the camera that's there on the tripod, or wherever we're doing it from the back. Stretch your hands towards the camera. Father, for every person that's watching this right now that could not be in this service, maybe, Lord, they're in another country or another state, we send the word of God to them wherever they are in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for every family that's watching. I thank you, Lord, that sickness and disease has to stay far from their home in Jesus' name. If they're battling it right now, I take authority over sickness and disease and command it to go in Jesus' name. I take authority over depression, anxiety. I command it to run out of the house in Jesus' name. I lose healing. I lose joy. I lose peace. I lose right now. Poverty has to go. Lack has to go. I lose overflow in the name of Jesus to every home. And I thank you, Lord, that from this night forward, there's a hedge of protection around God's people in Jesus' mighty name, that we will not suffer at the hand of an accident, an attack, terrorist attack or otherwise. We'll not be called to identify the body. We'll not get a call in the middle of the night letting us know about an accident in Jesus' name. We'll never find our children in a school shooting in Jesus' mighty name, but our story will be different. We declare it by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you believe it with those that are watching, somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So listen, I love every one of you, those that are here that are at the altar. You can return to your family. We're going to join together. Here's how we're going to do it so that we don't miss anybody. I don't want to miss anyone. If you don't mind, you can return to your seat, join your family. And then here's how we're going to do it. Just like we did the other night, we're going to form one line. People are going to come through with their families. We're going to pray for you, anoint you with oil. And this is how we're going to finish the service tonight. We're going to leave shouting and in victory, knowing God's touching our families. We'll not be the same. Pastor, I want to say thank you to you and your wife. I love this man of God and his wife. Don't you love him? And I'll say I love this church. I love what God's using them to do right here in Pembroke Pines. It's important that we have churches like Hope United that are standing for the Holy Ghost, the things of God, that are not dropping the banner. That's why I appreciate this man and woman of God for all they've done to dedicate to the kingdom. It takes faith to dedicate to the kingdom like that. And you ought to pray for your pastors every single day that God continues to bless them and strengthen them to do what he's called them to do. I'll tell you what, this room, although it's wonderful, is going to become too small for what God's doing at this church. It's going to become too small. I mean, truthfully, it already is. I mean, you're already at two services. Truthfully, it's already too small. But hear what I say. It'll be far too small for what God's going to do through you. Because God's got such an increase for this ministry that it's not going to be able to handle it in this building. I'm just telling you right now, this right here will be like a Wednesday night leadership meeting right here. I'm telling you, we're getting ready for the weekend with a leadership meeting. Too small. And not only does God have increase for this house, he has increase for your house. Can you say amen? So whatever, you guys had some hot praise songs tonight. Whatever you got praise wise, we're going to praise our way. Pastor, do you have anything before we pray for anybody?
No, we want to pray for you at the end.
All right. But I want you to do this, if you don't mind. We're going to form one line. So just if you would stand on your feet. And we're going to come towards this way. We're not going to just line up across the altar, but we're actually going to stretch a line. If we have to go around, we'll go around. If we have to go out in the back, we'll go in the back. But we're going to come through one at a time with our families. And I'm going to anoint you with oil and pray. So if you don't mind, quickly move from your seat. Begin to form a line here that we're going to bring you through and lay hands upon you. God's going to touch you. Can you say amen? How many will pray for us as we head to Brazil on Friday? Starting Saturday night through the next Sunday, God's going to do mighty things. And I'm excited. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. But here's what I'm excited about. God's got a plan for your family. God's got a plan for your children. I'm ready for testimonies to come back from our children.
Amen.
Say, God, Mom, you know what? I was at school today. My friend was sick. I laid hands on them. They got healed in the moment. That's what I'm ready for. In Jesus' name. Miracle testimonies from our kids. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this awesome crowd on a Wednesday night. I love you guys. Love you very much. Thank you for everything this week. We appreciate this church and appreciate you. Hallelujah. Stay in the anointing wherever you're moving this. We're not done. Stay in the anointing. Stay in an attitude of prayer and receiving. Because God's got a blessing for you. Lift your hands all over this room. Father, we thank you now. This anointing is coming upon us in a great measure tonight. We're leaving whole. We're leaving set apart. And we're leaving with a next level anointing and touch upon our lives and families. We declare from this night that the Spirit of the Lord is coming mightily upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you praise that not only will we be blessed, but our children will be blessed and our children's children will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to shout out by faith, the struggle is over. My anointing has come. If you believe it, clap your hands tonight. Let's praise the Lord with something. Come on. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.